Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part two of Here I Am, a piece of literature that the Lord gave me several years ago. We have, I believe, three letters today and some scriptures to read. This is a very important message. Each message is a stepping stone to give you faith to grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, which actually means that you're melding into the entire body. We can't be part of the fullness of the stature of the Lord unless we're part of the one body of Christ. This doesn't mean religion. Religions are excluded from the body of Christ. Religion is of Satan, is of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint outwardly this service. Father, anoint me in everything that, and anoint all those that partake in this service. Open the windows of heaven. Open up everyone's heart and soul and radio land to receive the bride of Christ, those that have not yet been in the bride of Christ. Let them receive the New Jerusalem. There are so many people that want to destroy the New Jerusalem, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. But Lord, let the world receive us as you, because we are your body, and we are a chaste bride, a bride that is holy and without spot and blemish. And Lord, we ask that they receive you so that they may be part of your body, that they may be members of the bride and accepted into the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is soon to come. Lord, let everyone's mind be open, everyone's spirit, everyone's soul to receive the engrafted word, the word of God, which is able to save a person's soul. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and hearing by the word is what the Bible says. So it's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. The word of God is God. So Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and that you destroy all the works of darkness by the preaching of the word, and however else it is that we read in your word about the plagues that you'll be pouring out on this earth. We pray that one way or the other, Lord, teach this world lessons. Reprove, reprimand them. It is written that you chasten those whom you love. And we see the tsunamis, we see the earthquakes, and all the other different plagues, such as diseases, sicknesses, infirmities. And one-fourth of the earth's population will be destroyed, and one part by animals, like the swine and the cows, and there's so many different animals that are bringing forth diseases in these last days, just as your word says it would be. And Lord, let everyone know that in your body, when we become part of your body, that, Lord, we are free from, we escape from all these different plagues that you're soon to pour out on the earth. Many of them you've already poured out, and we expect to see many more of them, because it's written in your word that it will come to pass. And we see that all the other things that you said would come to pass have come to pass, so it's for sure the others will as well. Lord, we ask that you imprint this in everyone's heart, soul, and mind in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, let's begin with the first letter, please.
The first letter's from Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I and my little sister, including other refugee kids here, do appreciate you very much for enabling us to have food during this Christmas holiday. May our Father who are in heaven continue to bless this ministry in bringing others to know Jesus Christ personally. We say again thanks very much, Pastor, and please remember us in Ghana in the refugee camp. My little sister was glad to have food and water. She thanks you very much. I got to know your ministry from Mr. Doug from the Internet. Through your ministry, I and my little sister received Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior today. We are enjoying His presence and knowing Him for ourselves. I also want to open a children's ministry in your name, Tony Lamo Children's Ministry International, because I believe that the little children here need to know Jesus Christ personally and accept Him as the Lord and Savior. I want your help in doing this, that many will come to know Jesus Christ. We are so many here who lost their parents in the Liberian Civil War and don't have any hope in life. Since I received Jesus Christ through your ministry, I decided to open a children's ministry in your name. Now I have talked to over 100 children about Jesus Christ and how He came to die on the cross, for He is coming back again. Thanks for such a ministry, because if it was not your ministry, I wouldn't know Jesus personally today. Stay blessed always in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. We hope to hear from you again, Pastor. You all there have wonderful Christmas season, worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year 2006. Yours in Christ, Harding and Jenna, from Ghana, Africa.
Okay, so we'll send them a letter stating that they can count on this church's, which is the Lord's church, the Lord's support from us, and the Lord has laid them on our heart, along with many, many others like them. And we need to keep sending them finances every month. A lot of people over there in different countries want us to send them food and clothes. However, it costs so much to ship it over there that they could, in many cases, buy the food and clothing over there a lot more reasonable than we could buy it here and then ship it to them. And so... what we do is send them finances. We send it in many cases by the Western Union and in any other means that we can, that they allow us to send it to them. So those of you that would like to partake in it, well, send your pennies, dimes, quarters, and dollars here as much as you can, and we're going to keep doing it anyway. God's going to keep... blessing us so that we can bless them. We know that the Lord wants them to have food and clothing, and the little kids, there's so many of them that don't even have any parents anymore because of the tsunamis and because of the other things that have happened, the different plagues that have hit the earth. God's warned that they would happen, but if these children get right with the Lord like these have, they'll be free from these different plagues. All right, where's the next letter from, please?
From Dandridge, Tennessee.
Okay.
It says, I really enjoyed reading your literature that I found on my car in Nashville at the Titans game. I was wondering about maybe receiving some information about being able to spread your information to the people here in Dandridge and in East Tennessee. Bless you, Brother Chris, from Dandridge, Tennessee.
Bless you, brother, too. And let's make sure that he becomes a distributor. Sounds like that's what he wants to be. And so make sure that he gets literature and is told how to become a distributor, and make sure he gets the T-shirts or sweatshirts, whichever he prefers. All right, and you have another letter?
Yes, from Uganda, Africa. Okay. Pastor Tony Alamo, praise the living God and creator of heaven and earth. Your Christian Ministries World Newsletter, dated October 2005, when I saw it and read it from the owner, I never slept. In brief, I received Jesus as my personal friend and Savior. Pastor, for my life, send your Christian Ministries World Newsletter from the beginning up to where you have reached. I will be happy whenever I receive your newsletters. God bless you, from Uganda, Africa. Gwang, from Uganda, Africa.
And those of you that have never received my literature, they're all free of charge. You can look at them. We'll either send them to you, or you can read them on the website, and you can also catch up with other tapes or CDs that I have recorded. They're on the website now, and you can get there by the name of our website is...
LamoMinistries.com.
LamaMinistries.com. All right, so I see that. Let's begin now with part two of Here I Am.
Paul was a Pharisee. Before he met Jesus, he knew the Bible, not by the Spirit, but by the letter. Remember, quote, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life, unquote. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. The Spirit of God spoke directly to John. He told John, quote, write, unquote. Revelation chapter 1, verses 11 and 19. The Holy Spirit wanted John to write the things the Holy Spirit would show him in a book. John immediately began writing. When he was finished, his writings became the book of Revelation.
Now, we're not talking about John the Baptist here. We're talking about John the Revelator. The John who wrote the book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and also the book of Revelation. Okay, then what?
We can see the prophecies in Revelation, as well as in Daniel, and in all the other books in the Bible being fulfilled today before our very eyes. I am exceedingly glad the prophets and apostles were led directly by the Holy Spirit, because the things the Holy Spirit told them to write have come to pass, building every Christian's faith that the Bible is true, and flooding their spirits with the confidence to walk in wisdom and in power. When any person reads the Bible, their spirit will not only gain great faith, it will be flooded with supernatural confidence so that they do not fear anything or anyone but God. I see the Bible working throughout every day.
Yeah. You see, the government and the media accuse Christian churches of having paranoia. But look at the paranoia that the Vatican, the cult, the actual head of the Antichrist has. They have the entire, whenever the Pope goes anywhere, they have armed guards by the thousands. It costs millions and millions of dollars for them to even make a journey. To me, that's paranoia. Amen?
Amen.
Same thing with the President of the United States and the people in the White House. Why, the President came out here to Arkansas, and the people in MENA, and where he went over to Hope, Arkansas, they had fighter airplanes just zigzagging through the air all during the time that he was here, and they had the National Guard out. They've had police by the hundreds out there. Every kind of security that you could possibly imagine. That's paranoia. I don't have bodyguards. Never have. I'm not paranoid at all. And I don't know many true, I don't know any true Christians that are paranoid at all either. So, you know, whenever you see the news media saying something about paranoia, they were talking about Jim Jones. I never met the man myself, and I never heard him preach the gospel. I don't know if he was preaching the gospel or not, but I know that he, some of the people in Jonestown, Guyana, had escaped into the woods, and some of them came over to our church and stated that government people came in and murdered every single one of those people and lined them up to where it looked like it was a mass suicide, because the government wants everyone to believe that any church that is not Vatican, that is not Catholic, that is not the head of the Antichrist, they want you to believe that all of those all of us are paranoid and that we're cults. When in reality, if the Vatican cult wasn't paranoid itself, why did they not come right out and admit that it that it is them that's doing every evil thing on the face of the earth, just as the Bible says? It says the Antichrist would have a church, a cult, and that it would be in Rome, Italy. It says the city of the seven hills in the Bible. And a lot of people, I know when I was in the courtroom on false charges, they said, does the Bible say Catholic Church? And I said, no, it doesn't, because if it did say Catholic Church, they would change the name to Zamzubi Church or anything. You know, that would be an easy thing, but the Lord tells us to put the scriptures together. It says that the Antichrist church sits on the city, in the city, of the Seven Hills, and that it's the richest church on earth, if you want to call it a church. It says that it controls the presidents, the kings of the earth, and the queens, and that all of them, that they do a lot of commerce. Well, if you read my literature entitled Pope Secrets, you'll see that they own Budweiser, they Budweiser Beer, Christian Brothers Winery. The Gallo Wine Company does not pay any taxes whatsoever. And any of the things that they own in the United States, they don't pay taxes on. Because they say they're a church and that they're a foreign government. Well, why don't we get the same opportunity if we go to Rome? We're a foreign government. Why don't they give us the same break? I don't think it's fair for the government, this United States government, to honor any church, especially a cult like the Vatican. I don't believe it's fair to take tax, to not take tax money from them if they're going to run as many businesses as they do in this country. They own most of the booze places, Miller High Life. Most of all the beer companies and whiskey companies are run by these people, and they're the mafia. They're the government. They have the government to back them up, that cult that's supposed to be church. And it'd be good for you to order one of my pieces of literature entitled Pope Secrets and the Fugitive Pope. It's just the same thing. In the newspapers, you'll see that this new Pope Ratzinger has, they cannot prosecute him for being a child molester because he's a foreigner and he has immunity here. That means he can take your little boy and have sex with him, and he's immune. I don't think that's fair. I think the law of this kind, if you're in our country here, that you should pay the full penalty for any crime that you commit. Now, this is not, this is in all the newspapers where it says that, amen, that this Pope is immune from prosecution. Isn't that sick?
Yes.
Okay, how could that be a church, or how could that be justice or judgment? The U.S. Constitution says that this government is not to favor any church to any such degree as that. Even because, first of all, this is not really a church. It's certainly not the body of Christ. What it is a demonic coven. And anybody that doesn't know that, you have to be spiritually dead. Now, this program, you know, we're doing part two of Here I Am. But these people are so paranoid, and then they accuse us of being paranoid. I forget how many, I believe it was well over $200-400 million when the Pope made a trip to Canada. I mean, they closed the freeways down. They had the motorcycle police, the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They had the National Guard from the United States. They had everybody out there. Planes, airplanes. Now, if I come to town, I don't see any of this for me. Well, I believe that in the eyes of God, I'm so far superior to those people that it's not even funny, because yeah. I'm scriptural, and they don't even honor the Bible. I mean, this is so ridiculous, you know. Of course, the Bible says that Satan's been loosed on the face of this earth. And I'm not complaining, because I'm just warning you people that if you believe in this organization, this political, immune, satanic organization, that you're blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness for that on this side of eternity, or on the other side of eternity in the kingdom of God. And you're not going to get into the kingdom of God, but you're going to be judged, and you're going to be slung into hell, and then later the lake of fire. So you've got to be very careful and study the things that I'm saying. All these pieces of literature that the Lord has given me, many of them have literally hundreds of backup scriptures to back up everything that I'm saying, that the Lord has given me to say. And I pray that the Lord will take over. Remember, whenever you see the media, I just saw them saying that this Jim Jones was paranoid. I'll tell you, if you saw a whole bunch of government agents in there shooting every one of your people and shooting you behind the ear, they didn't show any paranoia at all, as far as I'm concerned, except the ones that ran out into the forest, the woods. I don't even call that paranoia. What would you do? Just stand there like an idiot and let these bunch of antichrist, the Lord calls them bastards in the Bible, would you let them just kill your children and so on? They took them, some of them in the woods, and they ran for their lives. And I thank God that some of them, they went touring some of the churches and told them that no one over there drank Kool-Aid. There's nobody on the face of this earth that could talk anybody into drinking Kool-Aid, let alone 900 to 1,000 people. What they didn't reckon upon was that there would be several of them that would escape and tell the real story. There was a bullet hole in every one of those people, and that's why they cremated most of them, so that there'd be no evidence. When the government takes hold of something, they hide things, just like they hid Kennedy when they killed him, both of the Kennedy boys. And just as they kill many people, oh, we can't open up the evidence on that for another 50 years. Why? Why? I want the weasels, you know, in the Vatican, you devils, to know that at least there's one person out here that's not a goose, all right, or an idiot. And I tell you one thing, that I believe the American public is a lot smarter than you give them credit for. A lot of them are very wise to you people. Now, the Vatican, the Bible says, would control the governments of the world. They are the United Nations, the Vatican is. And they also run the news media. That's why you see them exalting the Pope and tearing down people. And they, you know, you've heard of setups before. You've seen movies. These people are in the motion picture industry. What they'll do is they'll take one group of people and they'll make them look like a cult. But, and then the people are so mesmerized by them that they, that people don't even realize that the government itself is a cult. That they hide people that they murder, and they're clandestine, and they make it look as though many other people are doing the things that have been done in the United States. For instance, the World Trade Center. They know that, most people know that that was an inside job, and here it was done here in the United States by many of our government officials, and many people say that it was President Bush that was in on it. That's why he was conveniently sitting at a school, they say. Now, I'm not saying it, but I'm just repeating what everybody tells me. And they said somebody came in and whispered to him, and they told him in his ear that the World Trade Center had been bombed and the Pentagon, and he just had this real shifty-eyed looking thing. He was sitting calm as though he knew what was going on. And then he just remained in the schoolroom playing with the kiddies, Hickory Dickory Dock, or whatever game they were playing in there, and just looking very satisfied. Satan was satisfied. What a convenient thing. It's like the mafia. They send people out to murder people, and they're playing cards with the boys. Hey, we got a perfect alibi. We're here playing. And what could be a better alibi than being with the kids in school? I mean, this is what people are telling me, and I thought, man, maybe that is true. Maybe that is true. And then I saw many videotapes that they sent, many people have sent in to me, and that's sure enough what they're saying. If you need a copy of the videotape, I can tell you how to get it, or as a matter of fact, I'll send one to you free of charge. Okay? That is, if you'll play it for your friends, family, and enemies. Do your enemies. The Bible says that we're supposed to bless our enemies, to give them drink if they are thirsty, and to give them food if they are hungry, and to give them clothes if they are naked, and to pray for them. And I pray for the people. I'm not wanting President Bush or any of the people that the FBI or any of those people that were involved with the blowing up of the World Trade Center. I want them to get saved, because the Apostle Paul killed people. He was responsible. He was looking to kill a bunch of Christians. And there's hope for you weasels if you'll just repent. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. But you got to do it before something happens to you, because there's a lot of people that don't like it that the Muslims got blamed for doing this, when they know full well that it was the inside job. And now the media is even saying, well, there wasn't any Muslims involved in the bombing. And then they're saying that there were charges in the building, just like a demolition crew came in there for months and just set all these blasting caps all over the building, just as they did when they blew down the Dunes Hotel and some of those other major hotels like the Sands in Las Vegas. Yeah, those big hotels, and you can see them go down in about... They pancake down, they call it, in about 10 seconds. Well, that's exactly what they said happened at the World Trade Center. One airplane, and they say it wasn't even airplanes, they were rockets, could not knock that building down, or could not melt all that steel. It had to be an inside job. And it was through people that were in the FBI, according to all these reports, that... it was the FBI that went in there with their badges and told everybody to clear the floor while they were setting up their demolition. And, of course, 3,000 people had to pay the price approximately for this, because they wanted us to be mad, at the American people to be mad at Iraq. And the Vatican is using the United States military to invade different countries so that the Vatican can control them by putting their leaders in. Now, it's said in many newspapers and many books that President Bush has set up memorials for the Catholic cult in Washington, D.C. Have you read those reports?
Yes.
Okay. And so if you want copies of those reports, we'll be glad to send them to you. Now, we don't know, you know, how true. I never saw it, so you could go over there and examine it to see if it's actually true, okay? But all I am is just a reporter from the Lord. But, I mean, this is so sick. They did the same thing with the federal building over in Oklahoma City. They did the same thing to the Reichstag building because Hitler wanted to start a war. Hitler was a Catholic, and the Jews captured some of these war criminals knew that the Vatican was very involved with Hitler and supported him and gave them enough money to wage war on the entire world. Well, in that effort, they failed. That was just a dress rehearsal. Now is the real thing, and so everybody needs to get right with the Lord, because these people are so crazy. The Bible says that the leaders of nations would be crazy in the last days. They're perplexed, and you can see that they're so perplexed that it actually makes all the people of the world lose confidence in their abilities to be able to rule. I, or any other strong Christian, could rule better than all of them put together, because we would rule by the Word of God. But the Lord didn't send us into the world to rule it. He said that we're not of this world. We're to just pull people out of the world so that they can wind up in the kingdom of heaven. I'm not at all interested in ruling this world, because I know that we're not going to live forever. My younger brother just passed away a couple of days ago. He was, and We have people that we see dying all over the place in the world today. You could be out on the beach enjoying yourself on Christmas Eve, and all of a sudden a tsunami could come and just swallow you up. You'd think you're safe and secure. And because of the fact that you may live in the Midwest or on the West Coast or East Coast or wherever, you may feel very pleased that everything is going right. A beautiful sunshiny day, or, you know, like having a white Christmas and then the Happy New Year and all this. You could be out in a nightclub and somebody go berserk in there because people are going berserk because of world conditions today. And they're taught violence by the news media and sex, and they're snapping. A lot of people are snapping, even kids, and they're taking guns and killing their school chums in school. And everything's gone crazy. But the Lord tells us that if we enter into His rest, if we go into the Sabbath of the Lord and just rest with Him, rest from all of our worldly former deeds, the things that we did before, that we'll have perfect peace and a sound mind. Now, there won't be any paranoia whatsoever, because we look forward to the day that we go to the kingdom of heaven. If somebody puts a bullet in my skull, I'm not going to have 150,000 guards, or even 100,000 guards, or 50,000 guards, or 25,000, or 20,000, or 5,000, or even 5 guards, or even 1 guard guarding me, because the Lord says that He has guardian angels around me, and if they let somebody put a bullet in my skull, praise the Lord, you made my day, okay? Because I'm going to be right, the second that breath goes out of my body, I'll be right in the arms of the Lord. Now, the reason that the Pope was so afraid that he was going to die was because of the fact that he knows he's not going to be in the arms of the Lord. We all know where he's at, because he's blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And I'm not judging him with my judgment, I'm judging him with the Word of God. And the Lord, when I said, "Here I am, Lord, here I am," just let me get into the Spirit of the Lord and let me stay there. The Lord says, "All you that are heavy laden, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls." Now that means that we enter into a rest or a Sabbath, and I've been bringing messages on that. And I'd like to read just a little bit before we continue on with this from the book of Romans. So Sharon, do you want to come over here and read some of this, starting at verse 1, chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1 in the book of Romans. Go ahead.
"Therefore, being justified by faith..."
Now, we're only justified by faith. The Bible says if you have faith in this one world government, which is the Antichrist government, you have faith in the media or in the Catholic cult, then you are doubting what God says. God said it's the Antichrist. If you say it's God, well, then you're lost. But you're only justified by faith in God's Word. Now, the Bible says that Jesus is the Word of God, and that's why the Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And that goes for you, President Bush. That goes for you, the administration. It goes for all you FBI people that took part in that mess over there, the BATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and all the other agencies that took part in that. I know that we see different people that were in government that know these things are true, and they have been saved, like Mr. Peeler, who confessed all the things that went on at the World Trade Center with the... he was a undercover man, agent for the BATF, FBI, and other agencies, and he told us that he had... Well, we've printed his testimony, and he told us that they went to... they want to make the people in Waco look like David Koresh, look like a cult. And so they said they were going there to kill him, and they didn't want him to surrender. He tried to surrender on several times, and they shot him every time he tried to get out the door. So this is not, there is this satanic army here in the United States that claims to be the United States Army, Navy, and Marines, when in reality they're the United Nations Army, and we are going after many nations under the dictatorship of the Pope in Rome, the Antichrist, the devil. And if you partake in all that, then you are a member of the devil's body. You're doing his work. And the Lord wants you to be a member of his body to do his work. And you'll be blessed if you do. You'll be justified if you have faith in what I'm telling you, what the Bible says. And I'm giving you the scriptures and verses so that you can read it for yourself to see that I'm not making this up. That is, this is the truth. There's only one truth in the world and Jesus, in the universe, and Jesus said, I am the truth. All else are liars. Okay, so let's read that again.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so we have peace with God through Jesus. If we believe the word of God, which is Jesus, then we have peace with God. We're not going to go to hell. We're not going to be slung into the lake of fire, but we're going to follow Jesus, he says, who said, okay, take up your cross now, deny yourself, and follow me. And all ye, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest for your soul. So he, as the Bible tells us that on the sixth day God rested from all his works, and that he wants us to get into the same rest where he is and just let him continue using you to complete the work that he already finished on the sixth day. And that is to be instruments of his being used by the Holy Spirit from that day. Now let's continue on here.
Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand.
Okay, into this power. So when we're in the power of God, when we're resting in his Sabbath, which is we're in Christ, in God, then we have power. And so we're resting in that power. Is that what it says?
Yes.
Okay. The word grace means power. By the grace or the power of God, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Then what?
And rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Okay, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God because when we are in the power of God, then we can rejoice because we have hope that we're going to be in the kingdom of heaven. But if you leave the power of God, if you leave the rest or the Sabbath, and you go back out into the world, and you start doing the worldly things that you were doing before, then you have no hope. Okay, so you have nothing to rejoice about because you know that you're not in God's rest. You're not in his Sabbath. So I've written a piece of literature years ago that was called The True Believer's Sabbath. That means that we are to Sabbath or rest from our works every minute of every day, of every hour, of every every year that we live, because then we're free from our labors. And when we're resting with the Lord, our Sabbathing with him, that's where the power is. Now Jesus, the Bible says, is the wisdom and power of God. And so we rejoice in that hope when we're in the power of God. It says, by his grace, read it again.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand.
Okay, we stand in this grace, this power. We cannot stand unless we're in the power of God. But I wanted you to read the verse before and then that verse again.
Okay. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace.
We have access by faith, by believing the Word of God, into the rest, or the power of God, into Christ. Because the Bible says that Christ is the wisdom and the power of God. Without Christ, there's no wisdom in the universe. God doesn't have any wisdom but Christ. And he doesn't have any power without Christ. The Bible says that Christ, God used Christ to build everything, all the galaxies, all the worlds. The Son of God, he said, did that. And that there isn't anything that was created that was not created by him. And so if we're in Christ, then we're in power or grace. And if we're in power and grace, then we do not sin. It's impossible to sin in the power of God unless you deliberately look back, like Lot's wife did, at the world. And you are not to look back at the world, because you are supposed to be rejoicing and be in glory by being in this tremendous power when in God's Sabbath, or his when you're in his Sabbath or his rest. And that's where the power is. And the Bible says right here, in this power wherein we stand. Amen?
Amen.
We cannot stand and become faithful to the Lord to the end unless we're in God's rest, unless we're in Christ, because he's the power. Now, we are not able, we are only able to keep God's commandments by power. And we have no power, so we have to go to him for the power, because all power in heaven, on earth, and on earth belongs to him. And so in him, we have his power. If we go into a dark room and we turn the power in, then we're in a room full of light. But if we if there's no power in the place, then we're in darkness, because the there's no power there, no light power. But when we get into the lighthouse, which is Christ, that's where the power is, the grace is, and we rejoice in because we know that we can stand because we're in the power. If we're in light, we can see. We won't stumble. But if we're in darkness, we will stumble and fall into the ditch, into the pit. Okay, so read that again with that last verse, and let's go to the next one.
By whom also we have access by faith into this grace.
Yeah, only by faith into this power. Then what?
Wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory.
And we rejoice in hope. What hope do we have of, what says we rejoice in hope, what?
Of the glory of God.
Okay. The glory of God is in his rest, in his Sabbath. Because when we're in his Sabbath or his rest, we're also then sitting with Christ in heavenly places, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
And so the hope of his glory, we're right there sitting gloriously with him, observing all the evil things in this world from his vantage point in the kingdom of heaven, because we're spiritually there with him, because we're connected to him by the Spirit, by his power. We're in the light, okay? And so we are in that vantage point, and that's where we stand, only if we stay in the Lord. And we don't start biting at each other and consuming each other, as Paul found some of the Christians in the New Testament. He said that we must walk in the Spirit. We must be in the power. We must rest in the Sabbath of God, in God's Sabbath. And when we rest in God's Sabbath, we're not doing any of the works of the world anymore, any of our evil works any longer, because that dies out when we accept Christ into our heart. We're crucified in Christ. With Christ, rather, and we also resurrect into Christ and sit with him in heavenly places. And in heavenly places with him, that means that we're in God's rest, in God's Sabbath, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Okay, then continue on.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also.
So we know that we glory in tribulation. Why would anybody glory in tribulations? Why? Because everybody in the world has tribulations. People that are evil have tribulations, and those of us that are just are in tribulations, but we glory in it because we know we are in God's rest, in His Sabbath, and we're in the power, and we know that we rejoice in it because we know that if anything happens to us, if we expire, we're in heaven. We have peace, therefore, the only peace that's here on earth. There isn't anybody else but we on this earth that has peace like that. It's peace that passes understanding, and it's also peace that is extremely hard to explain. We can't explain that. You have to experience it in order for you to know what peace that passes understanding is. So you need to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of God, so that you have hope to endure persecutions, trials, tribulations, and everything else that you may encounter, the loss of loved ones, ill health, because you have peace, knowing that God has healed you, the Lord Jesus Christ has healed you 2,000 years ago. The Lord has provided everything for you, and He gives you enough money to pay the rent and to pay for food. And, of course, if you obey all His rules, He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Amen? But if you work, He wants us to work. If you can't work, there's places that belong to the Lord, such as ours, and I'm sure there must be others, because I'm training people to be like us over here, that you can come and live free of charge. I mean, if you're an invalid, if you don't have any hope, come in and enjoy God's rest. Amen?
Amen.
His Sabbath. And there'll be people that'll feed you and clothe you and house you for the rest of your life. Now, I'm not looking to support everybody in the world. We have commandments and also that keep the rules at this church. But there is a place for those that really love the Lord. All right? You have plenty of brothers, plenty of sisters. It's like a family much better than your worldly family. Because we are the members of Christ's body, and you'll enjoy it over here. We're not going to do you like the administration. We're not going to tell you we love you and then support you and everything and then blow you up, okay? No, I didn't say that. There's many people, and there's millions of people in the United States that believe that these people had a part in this, all these different evil things that are going on in the world today. Okay, and if Mr. Bush says he's a Christian, he's not, because he loves to bomb people. And he says that that's the way to happiness and to peace. Listen to me. The Bible says when you start saying peace, peace, you carnal people out there, then cometh sudden destruction like the tsunami, like the earthquakes. And these are not Mother Nature. These are promises from God that He said would happen to you. And the best is yet to come. But the Lord will hide you from these things if you really get into the Lord and start serving Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, then go ahead.
Knowing that tribulation worketh patience.
Right, so we know that we patiently endure in the power of God, because we know that it's patience is a virtue. And no matter what tribulations we go through, we know that tribulations are likened unto a storm. And we know that we've never seen any storm that lasts forever. Have you?
No.
Well, I was out on the sea one time coming from Southampton, England, to the United States, and they said the swells were over 200 feet, and you could hear that Queen Elizabeth QE2 just creaking and it seemed like we were on a cork out there, that huge ship. I thought, well, this is not going to last forever, and I just hope that we, during the storm, don't sink, you know. And I just was praising the Lord and everything. He brought a calm down on me and that everything's fine, so I didn't worry about it. Okay, continue on.
And patience, experience, and experience, hope.
Yeah, because when you experience that the storms, one storm and then it goes, it's over with, and then you another storm, and that's over with. And then after the storm is over, I mean, you've got more hope that the Word of God is true, that He brought you through every storm of your life. Amen?
Amen.
So just kick back and relax. And if you're in some kind of trial or tribulation, it won't last forever. If you trust the Lord, He'll make a way where there seems to be none. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts.
Right. Now, hope, if you hope in the Lord, when the storm is over, people say, well, you're going to go, you know, God is not protecting you. Where is your God now? Well, man, I've gone through so many storms, it's unbelievable. Do you know how many times they've tried to put me in prison and tried to kill me? Mr. Peeler stated that he was ordered by the United States government to assassinate me. Oh, well, that makes you so afraid that you don't want to associate with me. Well, this has been going on for 41 years, kids. Okay, sunshine. And I'm still alive. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord, that builds up more hope in me, because I went through one of those storms after the other. I've been in one courtroom after the other. And I've won all the court cases with the exception of the one where they paid liars to come in and lie about me that I had cheated the IRS, which was a dirty lie. And so they put me in prison for 4 years. But I knew it was actually a six-year sentence. I got off for six. They took off 2 years because of good behavior. They said I was a model prisoner, so, you know, they could pin a badge on me for that. But I'm not going to do anything wrong, even according to anything. I'm just not going to do the sinful things that they say are okay. So I have much hope. Some people said, you'll never see the light of day again. Oh, Tony Alamo's never going to see the light of day again, but I'm out, and I've seen many days of light, and I've had different officers come up to me in prison. They'd say, if I were you, I'd stay in here. You're a lot safer in here. And I said, well, tell you what, I'll just, I'm getting out, and I'll just think I'll get out, okay, because I don't like it in here any more than you would if you were locked behind these bars. But if it was of the Lord that I stay here, I will, but I'm not going to tell people to keep me locked up. I want to be with my wife and my children, okay? If it's just all the same. And so, like they were threatening me, you know, saying, you'll wind up dead if you get out. You're safer in here. Don't believe that garbage. And if I do, I told the guy, I says, you'll make my day if you kill me, man. Okay? But I'm not. You're not going to do that until it's okay with the Lord. And so go ahead and do what you got to do. Then what else? And I'm going to be in the meantime doing what I got to do. All right. What else?
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us.
Mm-hmm.
For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly.
Yeah, we were without strength, and He died for the ungodly, and we were all ungodly. The Bible said there isn't anyone that hasn't sinned. But when we come to Christ, that means that He washes all of our former sins away, and He makes us sons of God by virtue of us being in Christ, being in His rest, being in the Sabbath, resting from our old sins, and that way we become perfect in Christ Jesus. We're perfect because we're living in the Spirit. And once we're, how could we be imperfect if we were in God, in through Christ, Sabbathing with Him, resting in Him, just doing, letting Him do His work through us, in us and through us? We have to be perfect. The Lord says there's no condemnation to those that live godly in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And so, if we're not condemned, then we're perfect enough to get into the kingdom of heaven. And really, I care about being any more perfect than that. I just want to be perfect enough to get into heaven. And all these supposed to be ministers that say that no one is perfect, I have to tell them, and I have to tell you out there, that they're liars. All right? And if they come in front of me in person... one of them is Charles Stanley out of Atlanta, Georgia, I believe. I mean, that guy just keeps saying that the Lord loves us unconditionally. Oh, no, you must be in the will of God. You must be in His rest, in His Sabbath. You must be baptized into His Sabbath. You must have His power in you. And if you're sinning, there's no power. You don't have any power. You must be in Him, walking according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Because that's... this is where you're perfect. And the Lord says, be ye perfect. Do you think that a good God would tell you to be perfect if it was impossible to be perfect? Charles Stanley is not perfect because he's a sinner. And he's a very big sinner by preaching such a lie as that. And if he comes over to my house, and he's welcome to come here and debate, or if he wants to, I'll debate him on television anytime, and I'll bring up the scriptures that say that. All right, that we can be perfect, and the Lord demands it. All right, and so you can be. If the power of God is in you, believe me, you're more than sufficient. You are more than conqueror in Christ Jesus. You're more than able to conquer sin, Satan, death, hell, and the grave. That's perfect, my friend. And you can be perfect as well. I'm sorry, well, I just went with what the Lord told me. We could have finished up part two, probably, of Here I Am, but I see our time is up. The Lord just took me on another excursion here. And so some of you people out there, I know that not every one of you is going to want to rest from the sinful things that you're doing. And, you know, if something happens to you between now and tomorrow, or sometime when the Lord will come to you as a thief in the night and take the breath right out of your body, and you'll be right in hell in the lake of fire. And you know, death comes to us suddenly, just like the tsunami. So those of you that want to be saved, that want to enter into God's rest where you have great hope to be in the glory of God, because you'll be sitting with Christ in heavenly places, and you'll have the power to not sin anymore. And this is the 31st of December. We're right into New Year's. This way you'll be able to keep your New Year's resolutions of not taking drugs anymore, or booze, or beating your wives, or committing adultery and fornication, all the other things that you people out there do, or whatever you do, which is wrong, but you... Even if you don't do those things, you must be born again of the Spirit. And you can do that by saying this prayer. Our time is up, so say it now. Say this to God with all your heart and soul. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me on the cross at Calvary. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your holy, unfallible word says so. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now raise your hands up and praise the Lord. And tomorrow, just thank Him and praise Him. Say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now tomorrow, we're going to make another attempt to do Here I Am, Part 2. Till then, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you real good, and praise the Lord. Amen.